Lisa Holm Johansen grew up in Norway. Her father is Norwegian. Her mother's from Minnesota. So after growing up in Norway, she decided to come to the States to go to college at St. Olaf. And one of her audition pieces was a song by Edvard Grieg. The songs of Grieg have been in her heart ever since, and recently she had the opportunity to record 25 of them in English translations. She's very excited about this project, which features her with pianist Stephen Swanson, and you're going to find out more right now on New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. I'm Julie Amacher. I know, Melissa, that you are a native of Halden, Norway. How did you end up in Minnesota?
Well, I came here for college in 1994, finished high school, and came on over here and attended St. Olaf College. And I was raised bilingual. My mother is from Minnesota. She's a U of M graduate. And my father is from Norway. So I've had dual citizenship all my life and grew up speaking two languages, so it seemed like a natural thing to do.
So what inspired you to stay here then?
Oh, boy. I just liked Minnesota. I have family here. I had family close by. My brother was studying here as well. And I just fell into a pattern, and I enjoyed the music life here in the Twin Cities, and there were a lot of opportunities for singers as myself and in the choral tradition, et cetera, et cetera. So it seemed like a good fit for me.
Tell me a little bit more about just who you are for people who maybe aren't familiar with you. What have you been involved with here? What ensembles? I know you're also a private voice teacher.
Yeah, I teach a private studio here in my house. Well, of course, remotely these days, all of us. I am freelancer and I sing professionally in ensembles. And I've been a former member of the Singers, Minnesota Choral Artists, the Warland Singers, under Dale Warland, and numerous other ensembles as well. Of course, a lot of that is put on hold right now. So, yeah, but most of the time I'm enjoying a very busy, hectic studio.
Well, one thing you have been busy doing, even during COVID, is your latest project, which is a collection of songs by the Norwegian composer Edvard Grieg, sung in English. Can you tell us how this project came about and your collaborators?
Yes. Well, this is a project that started unfolding back in 2019 between two gentlemen belonging to the Edvard Grieg Society of Minnesota, William Halvorsen and Peter Scharvold. And Peter was the current president of the board at the time. And a conversation struck up between the two of them that they wanted to have some of Edvard Grieg's songs recorded in English, because it had never been done before. Never successfully been done before, I should say. And there was a fundraiser in January of 2019 at Norway House, where there was a performance of some of Grieg's songs in English, sung by Maria Jetty, and accompanied by Sonia Thompson and also Alan Dunbar, baritone. And the program, the recital was so positively received, was enthusiastically received, that they wanted to take this project a step further. And I was brought in the summer of 2019 as the person being asked to do this particular recording project because of my background, because I was fluent in both languages.
Why was it important to you to be part of this project?
You know, at first, honestly, I was a little surprised that somebody asked me if I wanted to record Grieg songs in English. It never struck me as something I maybe wanted to do at some point. But after a while, I let it kind of settle, and I thought a lot about it. I thought about the possibilities that would come out of this, the educational value of this, the historical importance of this. Of course, Edvard Grieg wanted his songs to be sung in as many languages as possible. That was his desire from an early point in his career. He wanted his songs to reach an international level. And unfortunately, his songs never have, because they never were successfully translated into any other languages except German. So it was never done in English. And I think the importance of that is just it's going to reach a wider audience. More people will teach his music, teach his songs, perform them. And so that is important to me. That was a very important part of it. So I think with time, I saw more relevance, more educational value, more more resources to come out of it, ways that I could help my colleagues feel more comfortable teaching his music, because Norwegian can be a little bit daunting and intimidating. And we don't have as much knowledge in how to teach Scandinavian languages as opposed to Italian, French, German, etc.
What was most challenging about putting this recording together?
Well, I think during COVID, challenges such as finding the venue was a little bit tricky when 2 weeks out of the dates for in August of 2020, we didn't really have a venue yet. That was a little bit stressful, but we ended up being at the Landmark Center in St. Paul, and we found it just a wonderful venue that suited this intimate program, these songs, the genre. And it was a really, really good space for us to be in. Steve Swanson, my pianist, and I felt very safe the whole time doing this recording, as we were the only ones sharing the stage. And the sound engineer, and the producer were in a different room. And the fact that we could do this during the pandemic was just a really positive thing as well. Stressful at first, but then a really positive thing to come out of this. So I felt very blessed and very honored and grateful to do it during COVID.
Melissa, why was Steven Swanson the right collaborator for this recording?
Oh, I think, you know, I've worked with him for many years. He's accompanied me on numerous recitals and events and played Edvard Grieg's music with me quite a few times. So he was a natural for me to ask. He was just so excited about the opportunity. And I think because his project was in English, I think he was more at a benefit. Just he could chime in a little bit more. He probably felt like he could more comfortably have opinions on certain things like phrasing and dynamics. And I think he enjoyed fixing my English here and there. But, you know, it was just a different feel because we could talk about the music and the language differently that we hadn't done before when he was just merely trying to follow me, you know, as I'm singing Norwegian. So, you know, I think he was just the right collaborator. He's a joy to work with.
Grieg has composed 171 songs. This recording features 25 of those songs. How was the repertoire chosen?
Well, that was kind of a challenge. I had a list that I wrote down, and I shared it with William Halvorsen, and we actually came up, you know, with a list of very similar songs. I think you can think of these songs as being kind of the most known or the most popular songs by Edvard Grieg. I think we've done a really good job representing most of the opuses. And I think it's also important to mention that a lot of the songs on this recording were Grieg's favorite songs. Many of them were songs that he would travel around Europe and present quite often. So these are not just our choices, but also a lot of Grieg's choices, his favorite.
It's no easy task translating text into a different language. What needed to be considered to create a work of beauty that fully represented the original idea in each of these songs?
Well, this is where it gets a little tricky, because it had been attempted before with these translations of the two different types of Norwegian languages into English, and I think it really has to flow so beautifully with the actual music, and to have someone like William Halvorsen, one of our utmost scholars of Grieg's music here in this country, and have him locally, has been such a benefit, because he has understood how to take these poems and recreate or retell the poems. And in Norwegian, the word is gjendiktning. And so you use the word gjendiktning and you recreate the poem. And it's so much more involved than just a translation, because the words have to be specifically and carefully chosen. It has to suit the music. It has to suit the flow and the ebb and flow of the music and the peaks and the valleys of the melodies. And William has really found that in these songs, and it's quite stunning.
Can you give me an example of a really challenging translation and where we hear it coming through so effectively in one of these pieces?
I think in his cow call.
Oh, dolly, dear dolly, my dear gentle cow.
Which is from the Haugtussa story. I think this is a good example of this because the tessitura, or the range of the song, is very challenging. It's hovering kind of between the C sharp and an F sharp, and it's very exposed, extremely exposed. The piano accompaniment is very sparse, and I think the very folkloristic aspect of the song and the fact that Veslimö, or Haugtussa, the girl, is singing almost like she's improvising the song and singing to the cows. I think the words have to be so carefully chosen there because of how exposed the music is and because of how disjunct the leaps and so forth. And the choices of words that William picked, I feel really work really well with a melodic line.
William Halverson was commissioned to create fresh English versions of these song texts in 1988, and most of the songs featured on this recording come from the collection he created. But there are a few new versions. Can you tell me about those?
Yes, Opus 33 are the Vinje songs, and also Opus 67, the Haugtussa cycle. Those translations that were there before were actually not William's work. So we wanted this project, and of course, Bill Halverson really wanted this project to be exclusively his retellings. So he rewrote the words to Opus 33 and Opus 67. So those two opuses were specifically rewritten for this project. I'm biased, of course, but I just think, like I've mentioned, just recreated them so beautifully.
Edvard Grieg worked with several different Danish and Norwegian poets of the 19th century, and he set their texts to music, and he was friends with many of them. And some are very well known, like Hans Christian Andersen. And 14 songs are set to Andersen's texts, and two appear on this recording. Can you tell me about those two songs?
Two sparkling brown eyes I chance to see.
Yeah, Opus 5. Edvard Grieg wrote Opus 5 as an engagement present to Nina, his fiancée at the time. So this was his gift to her. And Jose Andersen is the poet on these Opus 5 songs. So very youthful and very intimate songs that he wrote to Nina. So Tu brune øyne, Two Brown Eyes, is one of them.
A piece of childlike invented lore, I'll never forget them until I die.
Which is just a refreshing short little piece of just his exclamation of love for Nina. And then Jeg elsker deg, I love but thee. Which has become a signature piece.
Thou art my joy, the radiance of my being. Oh, my beloved, thou my ecstasy.
I think of that song as probably one of like his anthems in a way. Everyone knows the melody and everyone can hum it for you and sing it for you in Norway.
And it's often used at weddings, too. Is that right?
Correct. Yes, very often.
Otto Bentzen was another poet with whom he worked, and his day job was as a Danish pharmacist, which is kind of fun to know that that wasn't his full-time task, writing text. He wrote one song called Summer Night, one text for that song. Can you tell me about this piece?
Yes, Lysnatt, or Summer Night, Opus 70.
Surely the sun, but moments ago, our whispering forest was sinking.
It's one of my favorite songs. It's an example how Edvard Grieg's music at the very end of his life took a really different turn. You will hear a lot more chromaticism and more crunchy harmonies. He's kind of going away from the more standard romantic melodic line and harmonies that we very often hear in his music.
Among
And I think just capturing that state that he was in at the end of his life comes out of this opus very well.
The first three songs on this recording are taken from a novella called The Fisher Girl, and it's written, the text, by a very famous Norwegian novelist, poet, and playwright. Tell me about this playwright and the relationship that he and Grieg had.
I would say of all his contemporaries and his close friends, Bjørnstjerne Bjørnson is the one that sticks out in terms of someone who was probably Grieg's biggest supporter. They were very close. They collaborated and worked on so much work together. They also spent a lot of time hiking and traveling through the mountains. Of any of his other good friends, I would say Bjørnson was his closest companion in many ways. And I think that comes through in his setting of his music to Bjørnson's poetry, the closeness and intimacy.
Wake to the day, shadows and gloom must vanish away. See how the darkness is flying, each ray of sunlight is crying.
The first song, Good Morning, which is text by Bjørnson, is the song that Grieg himself often chose for public performances. Why is that?
I think he thought of the song as just being a good concert opener, and it's just a joyful, exuberant piece to start with. It's charming, it's short, and it has just enough in it to really grasp onto. So I was a little surprised when I found that myself, that he used that as an opener very often, but I think it's a good choice.
Henrik Ibsen was a professional colleague, but he and Grieg were never good friends. Two songs featuring his texts made it onto this recording. One is A Swan, another audience favorite. Why is this a favorite? Is it the music, the story? What about it is most appealing, do you think?
Oh, yeah, I think this Opus 25, it's so dear to me. I think that the relationship between Ibsen and Grieg is really what this opus reflects. They were never close. They were never really supportive of each other, but Grieg still had a big desire to work with him because he really respected Ibsen and as an esteemed poet. And I think Opus 25 really shows the turmoil and the lack of closeness that the two had through the music. It's very dark, it's very stark. I think the reason that En Svane, or A Swan, it's become such an anthem again, is just because it has this really stark opening line, very exposed for the singer, really sparse accompaniment again, as many of his songs are. I think this song just leaves a lot of questions. You're not quite sure who the swan is or who's singing these words. And I think that's why it's remained such an important standard piece. It's because it just leaves all these questions at the end. It's just so mysterious and dark and gorgeous and moody.
Rest, my gentle pony. You have worked the whole day long. Now you're ready for a song. So rest, my gentle pony.
There is a children's favorite called Rest, My Gentle Pony, and the text is by a writer who also wrote children's books, Nordahl Rolfsen. Tell me about the tale behind this and what Grieg does with the melody that makes it unique.
Well, I think this song is just, you know, it just has survived because it's so repetitive and such an easy melody for children to learn. And this is a children's song, really, in essence. It's part of the curriculum in the elementary schools in Norway, that and every child sings this piece. I think it's appealing because it just has this kind of cyclical or just simplistic melodic line, and it just keeps repeating and repeating. So it's, you know, for children, it's easy to memorize. And it just tells the story of a relationship between a young child and a horse, and a really tired working horse. And I just think it's charming and appealing on so many levels.
Sleep, my gentle pony, dream of morning's gentle glow. Round the farm your thing will go together, dear old pony.
Melissa, of these 25 songs, which ones do you find yourself looking forward to singing the most, and why?
Oh, I think that has to be Opus 25 and Opus 67. And I think Opus 67, the Haugtussa cycle, is one that it's just I've always feel drawn to. And the reason for that is it was the first songs that I learned when I was about 17 years old in Norway. And his fifth song in the cycle, which is Elsk, or Love, was in fact the first song I learned as a young singer.
That crazy boy, he my heart has captured. I'm like a caged bird, and yet enraptured.
And it came with me on numerous competitions in Norway. It was on my application repertoire for college. It's just a piece that I come back to all the time because I just feel like learning it at that time of my life when you're growing, coming of age and going through what Veslemøy was going through, or Haugtussa, it has such a special place in my heart. And I think for a lot of singers, a lot of lyric voices are drawn to Haugtussa cycle because of its story, of course, and because of the nuance and the melodies, and because of how dramatic it is from the start of the cycle to the end of the cycle, and how it kind of goes through her entire life, falling in love and then, of course, being heartbroken at the end. But I think from a singer's point of view, it has so many wonderful challenges and has so much variety in the cycle. And every time you come back to it, you find something new. You find something more dramatic. And I think that's what we look forward to as singers, just to really find that. What can I find out about this piece that I've known for so long?
What is the album art on the cover of this recording? I have not found any information about what it is, only who created it.
Yeah, this is Ethan Bjellands, who's responsible for this. He works for Norway House. And what we're seeing the picture of is called a søyle. And in Norway, we have national costumes. And each particular region of Norway has its own national costume, which is usually a woolen skirt or woolen dress of some sort, and linen is part of it as well. But the søyle, the jewelry, if you may, accompanies the particular bunad from the region. And I'm not actually positive where this particular søyle is from that we are looking at on the cover, but that's what it is. And it's usually placed kind of right on the torso as an ornamentation or as a jewelry, piece of jewelry that you have to accompany your bunad.
Wonderful. So anyone who's Norwegian would certainly recognize what that is, right?
Yes, yes.
I was thinking about how you used some of Grieg's songs when you applied at St. Olaf. Is that what you were saying? You used those as part of
yes.
your application process. And I'm curious, did that inspire any kind of unique reaction when you use those, when you're applying to a school that was founded by Norwegian immigrants?
Well, it must have. They accepted me. So, I don't know. I think so. I think that would seem like have an appeal, you know, that here's somebody who's singing an Edvard Grieg song, but not in English or not in German, but in the native language. So I think that was probably a good benefit.
Do you have any other songs on this recording that you want to talk about before I ask you a couple of final questions?
I think maybe I can say a few words about the last two tracks.
Yet once again, cool winter I've seen, to springtime so
we wanted to close the CD off with two main songs that have such importance in Norway and to the Norwegian people. These are two melodies that if you walk up to somebody on the street, they know exactly what song you're talking about. They could probably hum it back or sing it back. They have just established themselves as patriotic pieces. You know, some of the most Norwegian melodies you can find are taken from his Opus 33. And I think Våren, which is last spring, translated here, and Ved Rondane, at Rondane, are two of the most beautiful, recognizable Norwegian melodies you can hear.
Do you have hopes for this repertoire to maybe at some point take it to Norway and perform it there?
Absolutely. I would love that. And I hope that I can do the same here at some point when we claw our way out of this pandemic. I have a lot of hopes for this. And of course, my colleagues and friends and family in Norway would love to have me come over as soon as possible to do this. And I wish that as well, sooner than later. So,
what is next for you? What other projects are you working on?
Well, this particular concert of these songs are being presented as part of the Edvard Grieg Society season on April 17th of this year. So Steve and I are right back into it now, working on putting this recital together. Of course, we're not going to present 67 minutes of music, but it'll be a condensed version of these songs. And this concert will be a pre-recorded concert from the Norwegian Memorial Church in Minneapolis, but it will be streamed on the Norway House website on April 17th of this year.
During the global pandemic, what have you learned about yourself that maybe has surprised you?
Oh, I think, you know, as any artist right now, and any singer in particular, we're, you know, I think it's just, it has really taught me to have a project, have a goal in mind. And I think I'm thankful that actually this happened last summer, because it gave me some real focus and gave me some real attention and gave me some real motivation to kind of just stick to this and just dive into it and just really, really do the work. And I think without having that, during 2020 would have been a little bit tricky, been a little bit more difficult. But I think I learned that if you have that goal in mind and you have something to work towards, I think it's really important. And I think that's a hard thing for a lot of artists right now, and for us singers in particular. But I keep coming back to being very grateful and blessed that I could do this project, and with such a wonderful team of support, such a great team that we had putting this project together.
A new recording featuring English translations of songs by Norwegian composer Edvard Grieg. The recording is Songs from the Heart, featuring soprano Melissa Holm Johansson and pianist Steven Swanson. If you're enjoying new classical tracks, the best thing you can do for the show is to tell somebody else about it. Help spread the word and take a moment to rate and review us on your podcasting app. Thanks to Valerie Kaler, our producer of New Classical Tracks. Since you're clearly a music fan, I want to tell you about another podcast I think you'd enjoy. It's called the Piano Puzzler Podcast. Each week, host Fred Child invites composers Bruce Adolph. Into the studio to play one of his brilliant musical mind games. Bruce takes a familiar tune and disguises it in the style of a classical composer. Then a contestant calls in to try to solve the riddle. It's a lot of fun. Think you're up for the challenge? Subscribe to the Piano Puzzler wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Julia Macher, and this is New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. One day I should...